Okay, very good morning to everyone. I hope everyone had a good rest. It was raining last night, so it should be quite cool for us. Okay, so we are continuing in the series that we are actually doing in the Bible as the authority of our faith. Okay, and for those who, I just want to make a quick announcement as well. On Fridays, we are going through a family series. Okay, I do have notes here, and I believe it's already uploaded. We talk about the foundation of the family on Friday nights. Okay, for those who came, I hope it was a great challenge, encouragement to find out why families break down. Okay, and what does the devil attack? And so if we can reinforce that and go on the offensive against him, I can assure you, he's going to not give in. All right, but you know what? We have the victory because Christ has already won the victory. Amen. We can have victory in our families if we will just let him, Christ, take control. Okay? So, let's turn to Matthew 22 as we begin today. We're going to do something special today, alright? We're actually going to go through what does it mean to have a quiet time, alright? And we're going to practice some of the principles right here. But I want us to turn to Matthew 22 first. Looking at verse 23, I'm just going to read this passage as an introduction, and then afterwards I will go through the principles of quiet time. Then after that we'll actually practice doing a quiet time right here, okay? Then after that we'll share what we found out, and so that we can continue that practice at home. Alright, many people, especially in discipleship, when we actually teach them, many people, how many of you actually taught to do your quiet time? Someone actually set you down and this is what you need to do when you were a young Christian. Not really. We want to go to the basics this year. Everything, we're going to break it down, get us to practice so that we actually have the basic skills of a Christian life. And if we find that some of us may have been Christians for a long time and we kind of fumble around and finally we found a formula that works for us, that's fine. But if you find that this will help, follow it. And I can assure you, God is going to open up a lot of new things for you, alright? Matthew 22, verse 23. I'll read verse 23, you read verse 24 until we come to verse 29, alright? Okay, are you ready? Matthew 22, 23, the Bible says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, we say there is no resurrection, and ask him, verse 24. Verse 25, now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Verse 26. Verse 27, and last of all, the woman died also. Verse 28. Verse 29, the Bible says, let's read together, alright? Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Okay, let's bow for our prayer. Father, we thank you today as we begin, Lord. We thank you for this cool morning. We thank you for the people that have come. And Lord, I know that whoever has come today, Father, you have a plan. And God, we pray that our eyes will be open to thy precious word. Speak to us in a special way now. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to be the teacher, not me. But Father, use me as an instrument for whatever you want to do. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Sadducees had a problem, alright? They had a question. They wanted to challenge Jesus. They say, well, Moses said a man died having children, having no children, and then after that the man died, and then he passed the wife on. There's this thing about needing to have a family line, alright? And so if one man, the oldest one, died having a wife, but the wife didn't give birth, the brother is supposed to take the responsibility. All right? That was in the Israeli culture. All right, they had to do that. And so the Sadducees, who believe there is no resurrection, actually challenged the Lord Jesus and said, so in the end, all the seven brothers had her, but they have no children. So in the end, whose wife is he? Is she at the end? What was Jesus' answer to the Sadducees? You know, it's interesting because we all have questions in life, right? About life, about things in life. And many times, we try to get answers But generally, according to what Jesus is going to say in verse 29, many people go on the wrong way because they don't know what God says. Because Jesus told the Sadducees, who were supposed to be religious leaders, ye do err. The word err means go out of the way. Ye do err means you go, the word err means to go astray from what is the standard. And so Jesus is telling, you guys Sadducees, you are going out of the way, roaming away from, going astray from the standard which God has set, because you don't know the Bible. Okay? And I want to challenge us today. I believe that if we would just get back to the Bible, almost all your problems will be solved. Because God has the answers for everything in life. Some people say, I don't believe that. Put Him to the test. I've not found God unfaithful to His word, neither have I found Him untrue. If you will find God's word and the principles therein, I can assure you, you will find answers to every question in life. You may not like the answer though, but certainly it is still an answer. Does it make sense? I go to the doctor, doctor tells me I've got cancer. He's like, wow, can I just like sleep and eat a pill and go away? He said, no, I'm sorry, you have to go through, your tumor has grown to a big size, I need to actually go in, you need to go for surgery, either surgery or chemotherapy. It will be unpleasant for a couple of weeks, but you know what? The chances of your survival is 80%. Okay, and the answer is, what do you mean I've got to lose my hand, all that? Well, that's the outcome. It's either you get better or you die. It's up to you. Alright? In the same way, sometimes when we face life's problems, we rather do it our way. Because it's easier. It's more convenient. But if you want genuine answers, we need to go to the Bible. Alright? I want to start there. Alright? And now, we're going to go to the thing we have today on the quiet time. I hope, does everyone have one? I hope everyone will have one. I'll just be going through. And remember your... welcome. Remember, you're supposed to memorize Psalm 119, verse 97, right? Okay, well, just read there, right? The memory verse is there. Let's just read Psalm 119, verse 97. The principles and practices of quiet time. Okay, we take the next 15 minutes, 20 minutes to do this. Then we actually practice a passage, as if you're doing quiet time here. Alright, and then after we'll share your findings. And then after that, I will share with you what are some of the practical things about quiet time you need to have, okay? Let's read Psalm 119, verse 97. It's right there on the first page. Ready? One, two, go. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Okay? So, in this particular verse, the psalmist David says, I love God's law. And it's a very important principle. We cannot do our quiet time without having any love for God's word. Okay, the very first thing we need to have is a proper persuasion. Meaning that we need to be persuaded that God's law is the foundation of our life. Okay, remember Matthew chapter 7, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 7. Just take notes along the way. And do stop me if you're not too sure and all that. I mean, ask some questions along the way. So that we can facilitate a more interactive type of learning. Alright, Matthew 7:24, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, Jesus says, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we touched on it on Friday. It's interesting, Jesus actually says, if you would hear my word and if you would do it, I will liken you to a wise man that built his house. In the Bible, the house also has the meaning of family. Alright, if you follow God's word, you can build your family strong on the foundation of God's word. Jesus says that you are wise if you build your life on the rock. Okay, so we need to have a proper persuasion. But let's turn to 1 John also. 1 John chapter 2. And this is an important principle for us when we approach God's word in our quiet time. Okay, so we must come with a heart that is ready to say, Lord, I love your law. Okay? But 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. This is an important principle in your quiet time. Okay? But in verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Now, what is the anointing? Anyone? What is the anointing they're referring to? What's the anointing? The Holy Spirit. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit. So John is saying the Holy Spirit you have received lives in you. If you are a Christian, every Christian have the Holy Spirit residing in you. That's what John is saying here. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit teaches you of all things, and is truth, is no lie, and even as it had taught you, ye shall abide in him. So what is John saying? John is saying that everyone has the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is the teacher according to what Jesus said. So which means in your quiet time, when you are sitting down alone with God, can I say this? If you study for your exam, you take your physics textbook. Okay? Now, your physics textbook, you can read. Some people have enough, they can read through and say, oh, okay, now I understand what it means. Generally, for myself, I think for those who are older, probably about 35, 40 years old or above, I can read a physics textbook, although I'm not trained in physics, and actually understand it. Maybe because of experience. Does it make sense? But for the teenagers at 17 years old, you read, it's like, what in the world is he talking about? Because you have no experience, okay? Does it make sense? And so you actually need a teacher. You need a teacher. Now, God has provided two types of teachers. One is actually the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the main teacher. Especially when you have no one around. Okay? However, God also provides in the Bible, according to Ephesians 4, pastors and teachers who will teach you God's Word. Alright? So, we need to learn. But in your quiet time, remember, you need to, as you say, Lord, thank you for this time. I am going to read your Word. Lord, I know that the Holy Spirit is my teacher, and I pray that He will teach me today. You actually have to ask Him, okay? Even though you don't ask Him, He will still teach you because He's there. But your eyes and your heart must be open to Him, alright? So that's one thing, the proper persuasion, number one. Number two, you need a proper period. Period. That means you must find the right time. What does it mean to find the right time? How many of you read the Bible? Okay, let's not be... Okay, we're here to learn, alright? I'm not here to just be open and honest. How many of you do your quiet time in the morning? Okay, how many of you do your quiet time in the night? Okay, how many of you do quiet time in the afternoon? How many of you don't quiet time? All right. Okay, we need to find a proper time. The best time to do, according to the Bible, is actually in the morning. Okay, the proper time. You must find a time whereby you are most alert. Okay. The proper time, usually, your quiet time should last about 30 minutes. Should last about 30 minutes. Alright, when you pray about a few minutes, then after you read the passage about 10 minutes, you meditate another 5-10 minutes, you finish half an hour already. Okay? So, the proper time, you need to start. But you say, Brother Johnny, I got no time. Okay? Now, the principle for the proper time, for quiet time is in the morning. Do you know why in the morning? Why should it be in the morning? I know morning for Singaporeans is terrible. So you mean I need to wake up early to do my quiet time before I go to work, go to school? But the question is, why do we have to do it in the morning? Anyone? Why morning? Why morning? Yes?
If I read at night, I cannot absorb and understand anything. When I wake up in the morning, I'm refreshed.
Okay, so for some people, they are fresher in the morning. What else? Sorry? It's seeking God for direction for the day. An orchestra will play after he have tuned the instruments. Does it make sense? Alright, we need to get in tune with God before we actually play the orchestra of life. And I know it's hard for some people. Over the last few weeks and months, I've developed that habit, okay? The goal is always to read the Bible in the morning. And you actually have to develop that habit, okay? As much as possible. I know there's one author that say, well, if you cannot do it, just any that. Even if it's 10 minutes, better than nothing, alright? You know, the key thing is that you need God's Word on a regular basis. How many of you, I think some people will know that some people read the Bible once in a week. Some people do read the Bible, but they read it once a week, alright? And based on the survey last week, less than 5 people out of a survey of 30 to 40 people who responded in the survey, less than five make time to read Bible every day. Are you honest? Okay, it's not a guilt thing that I'm saying this, but you know what? We need to make that time to read. How many of you would say, okay, Pastor, from today onwards, I'm going to eat only once a week. I'm going to eat once a week. And I'm going to take only one plate of rice once a week. We can't, right? What makes us think that we will survive spiritually if we just eat once a week, okay? I want to encourage you to actually read. Make a time, even if it's 10 minutes, if you really find it hard, start with a devotional, you know, you can read a devotion so that you can get some input, alright? That will be at least a starting point, but you know what, as you grow, and you find that you will love God's law more, alright? So, there must be a proper time, and usually it's in the morning. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. The psalmist David says, in the morning I will direct my prayer, and will look up. In other words, Lord, before I start anything, I will point myself towards you first. Okay? So any question for the proper period? And maybe ask a general question. How many of you find it hard to do it in the morning? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Why? Why do you find it hard to do it in the morning? Sorry? Feeling groggy. Okay, so you feel groggy. What else? How do you find it hard to read your Bible in the morning? How many have tried doing it in the morning? Okay. What were the problems that you faced? Is that honest? Brain not woken up yet, okay. What else? The gentleman, you brain not totally engaged yet, okay. Can I give you a clue? I'm sure you will brush your teeth after that, right? Before you read, right? Okay, it's interesting, just from a biological basis, what happens is that when you are sleeping, your body is actually at rest, okay? That's why some people, when they sleep, they're tired, the saliva all drop. You know why? Because the body is totally relaxed and the muscles are not working anymore. And so when you just wake up, it's like, and just think of a car co-engine, okay, just revving up, alright? So what you might need to do, okay, it's interesting, the first thing they usually do is brush your teeth, right? Okay, you know, brushing your teeth actually wakes you up because you begin to stimulate sensation. You bathe, when you bathe also, it helps because why? You are basically giving a lot of sensory input to your entire body to wake him up. Alright? Some people need to drink coffee. That's fine. Okay? And my one strong suggestion, don't read your Bible in bed. Because you fall asleep. Alright? Okay? So you may need to actually really get out of bed. Alright? And that's sometimes you just... Yeah, sometimes when the alarm clock ring, then I will off it, then I'll turn around and I'll pray first, and then after that I've got to push myself up because otherwise you just won't get up and your brain will get stuck. Okay? After that, I give you other principles which actually kind of you need to wake up your brain. Alright? Even if you go for a walk first. Do something first. Okay? But the Bible, you realize the Lord Jesus Christ does his interaction with God in the morning before he will face the challenges of the day. Okay, so that may mean also we might get up, we need to get up a bit earlier because you need to make that time. Okay, so I'll just go on first. Alright, next one, the proper period, then after the proper preparation. Okay, you need to be physically alert. Find a time where cobwebs are out of your mind, you can think clearly as much as you can. I know in Singapore, we treasure our sleep, we don't get enough of it. Okay, I know that. Alright, I set my alarm clock on this one, and usually after I set the alarm clock, they will tell me how many hours I have to sleep. It's usually about 3 to 4 hours after that, and sometimes about 2 hours, and it's like, okay, then I'll go back again to reset, and just get a little bit more time. But you know what, sleep is something that as Singaporeans, we don't get much of. But you know what, when you love the Lord Jesus, you may need to say, Lord, I love you enough, and God, I'm just going to sacrifice that 25 minutes of sleep just to get up and just to be with you. Okay? And it's interesting, you know, how when there's something that we really love, we will make time for it. And that's the principle for quiet time. You want to spend time with Christ, the one who loves you so much. Okay? So the proper preparation. First, you need to be physically alert. All right? Wash your face, put ice. If need be, drink sour lemons or something just to wake you up. Just prepare your heart. All right? Physically alert, mentally aware. Be focused and know that Christ is there. Okay, one thing, emotion doesn't really have all that much to do with it. Some people say, when I do quiet time, I must feel that Christ is there. No, you don't have to feel that He's there. He's always there. That's faith. Okay? And number three, be morally pure and clean. You cannot be doing your quiet time when you've just been kind of playing whatever, computer games or reading things that you know is not right. And then when you go in, all your mind is just churning around with all those things. You need to say, Lord, before I do my quiet time, I need to be very clear. My life is pure. Alright? So proper preparation. Alright, any questions? Okay, if not, let's keep going. The proper place. Find a place where you can focus. Jesus said, enter into your closet in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. The idea of a closet. What's a closet? What's a closet? A closet. What's a closet? Okay, it's a room, alright? For us, the idea of a closet is actually a cupboard. You go inside, you close the door. Basically, it's a place you go to, you close the door, and no one can interrupt you. Okay, last time when I was younger, in the secondary one, when I became a Christian, my closet was a toilet. Alright? Because I didn't want my mom to know I'm reading the Bible. A lot of Asians actually have that problem. And so what I do is I go inside, close the door, and just spend about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, yeah? That's normal. Alright, just as an aside, you know in Shanghai, it's interesting, there's this toilet in Shanghai where we went. You know the bun, you know the bun? Shanghai Tan, the bun, alright? There's this toilet in Shanghai that when you go in, they warn you, you know, this toilet will automatically open in 20 minutes. Automatically open in 20 minutes. I don't know why they do that, but maybe it's because they don't want people to do funny things inside and all kind of things. Can you imagine how stressful you are if you're just trying? I don't even know. Anyway, but it's a closet that you go to that no one can interrupt you, okay? And there was someone who came and to our house one time and so I saw him going to the kitchen. And I was kind of just laughing. I thought he wanted to take something, take a cup. And then after that, I said, why is he doing that so long? So I went to the kitchen and realized he was doing his quiet time just beside the kitchen sink. Okay, so there's one of the teens who came to our house to just spend the night. So finding a place that you can just get alone with God and no one disturbs you. Okay, a proper place. You know, for me, my place is always at my table. My computer is on, and it's what searcher is. And what I've done is actually I will have my Bible as well, but the computer will be on because I need to find out the meaning of the words. I cannot read the Bible if I cannot understand if I don't know the meaning of the words. And so the computer will be on to help me understand the words. Okay? So that's my proper place. And I usually the light is on so I don't disturb my family members. The table lamp is on. Okay? So it's bright where I need. And bright enough for me to concentrate as well. Okay? So that is a proper place. Then the proper provisions. You need a Bible. Okay? You need a readable Bible. I don't buy those six point font, alright, those really small ones that you got to screen your eyes. It has to be something that's comfortable as well, okay, a readable Bible. They suggested a prayer journal and also a notepad, okay, I'll just show you. I actually have a couple that I take around with, and but this one, what I have is something like this, just an old notebook that I always put together with me or bring along. That I've actually got literally a lot, alright? But for example, yesterday I was learning salt. Yesterday up there in the youth, those who came. And what I'll do is I'll write down. And so I write things like salt loses its savor, then I'll start to also write down some of my thoughts about the passage inside there. Because, can I say this, it is known in science, when you write, it crystallizes your thoughts. Some people don't like to write. Can I encourage you to do that? When you write, it helps you to be more focused. You actually think better. All right. There's been this research that has been done whereby they were looking at different brains. Okay, they attach electrodes, and a person will listen to something and then he will repeat. A person will listen to something and he doesn't do anything, and they compare another person who listen to something and just start writing. They said that the brain activity of the person who listen and write is the most. And knowing biology and the brain, you realize that when you hear, you require the left brain. Okay, left brain controls your hearing. All right, the auditory cortex. Okay, but when you write, it's your motor cortex, which is the front. All right, and then on your left is all called memory. So you actually will have to go through the whole brain in order to get the thoughts out. All right, so just that's from a biological basis. But when you write, you actually crystallize your thoughts, and you'll be surprised how many things you learn just by writing. Because one, as you write, one thing will lead to another. And you start asking a lot of questions. But if this one, then what? And that's how the Holy Spirit will... That's called meditation. Alright? The world's... the next one we talk about, but I'll just go through that since I'm on it. The world actually tell you to meditate means what? What's the world's idea of meditation? Empty your mind. Okay? Empty yourself, empty your mind, right? The Bible meditation is, no, fill your mind with what? God's Word. You ask questions about God's Word. Why, Lord, did you do that? Why? You know, I have this conversation with God. I say, Lord, why are you doing this? Why did you say this, Lord? And because it's an interaction, it's a relationship with God. And so you can ask God, why do you do this? And then you begin to read the passage for answers, okay? So, proper provisions, you need a notepad. Write down what you learn, alright? Then proper procedure. We want to get into this because you have to practice this after this, okay? It's very important. Now, the first one is, get still and be quiet. The Bible says in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That means, you shouldn't prepare your breakfast just before you do your quiet time. You know how we try to do two things at one time? Many people try to economize our time. And so, I'll tell you what, let me boil the oatmeal first, then I'll read my Bible. You know what you'll be doing? As you read your Bible, and you know oatmeal cook quite fast, right? After you read your Bible, it's like, oh, burn already or something, and you get distracted. Don't do that. Don't do that, okay? Be still. Be still. And know that God is there. The Bible teaches us that He's with us. And all the more, when you are spending time with Him, I can tell you, God is very interested. Okay, number one. Number two, get into the Word of God. It's better to start by reading the Bible than start by prayer. Now, this one is just... you always have to pray first, alright? You can scratch that out. I just kind of adopted it. But you scratch that out. You have to pray first to ask God for wisdom before you get into the Word. Okay? It's more that God already knows all about you. And then read the Bible for quality and not quantity. Okay? Some people say, oh, Brother Johnny, must I read 3 chapters? Must I read 4 chapters? Must I read 1 chapter? Okay? There's a difference between Bible reading, Bible study, and quiet time. A difference between Bible reading, Bible study, and quiet time. Everyone should be reading the Bible through. In other words, you spend, some of you may read newspaper for 1.5 hours, take 20, half an hour of that. Do you realize you take 1 minute, 1.5 minute to read 1 page of the Bible? You take 1.5 minutes to read 1 page of the Bible. Okay? So which means, in 1.5 minutes, you can actually read 1 chapter already. Just read, slowly. So within 5 minutes, you can probably read 3 chapters. Does that make sense? So when you put it that way, you realize actually you can read a lot. Okay? So every Christian should be reading the Bible through. That's one. But when you come to Bible study, that's where you actually put a lot more effort into digging out the truth. Okay? Now, in quiet time, you are just reading the Bible. And it could be that you may read. The goal of when you read, in terms of quiet time, sometimes for myself, when I do my quiet time, or when I read, the first verse strikes me. But sometimes it doesn't strike me until the 3rd chapter. When you just read, till the Lord speaks to you. Okay? Does that make sense? After we practice that, so you don't have to worry. Alright, get into the Word, alright? Go for quality, not quantity. Okay? Now, the next one is important, meditate. This is really what you're going to practice afterwards, okay? You need to ask yourself, as you read the Bible, who is speaking in the passage? Now, these are very practical lessons that you must know. Because many people interpret the Bible based on what they think, more than what the Bible says. In order to have a proper understanding of the Bible, you actually need to ask these questions. Okay, number one, who is speaking in the passage? Alright, let's turn to, which passage are you in now? The last passage we had was 1 John, right? Chapter 2 and verse 27, right? First John chapter 2, verse 27, the last one we had. Okay, so we ask the question, now who is speaking in the passage? Who is the one speaking? Sorry? Apostle John, okay? So Apostle John, to whom is he speaking? Just use it as a... To whom is he speaking? Who is Apostle John speaking to? The listeners, right? But who is the listeners? Sorry? Okay, okay, before that. Okay, that's already application already. Okay, but before that, who is he speaking to in the passage? Sorry? 1 John chapter 2. He's talking to Christians, okay? Talking to Christians in general, but more specifically Christians in the first century. Alright, this is very general, okay? But among the Christians, you go a little bit deeper into Bible knowledge, there are some Christians who don't believe that you can have a personal relationship with God. There are some Christians there who believe that you can call yourself a Christian and do what you want. Okay? So that is the people. Now what is he saying? So in verse 27, just now he's saying that God has given us the Holy Spirit. Alright? And then what is the outcome? So when you go through these questions, it helps you to frame what the passage is talking about, not what you think the passage is talking about. Many people read the Bible based on their own preconceived notions. Well, we need to change that. We need to get into what the Bible says. Okay, we'll practice that later on. Right? What is the Lord trying to teach me through this passage? What is one thing that I must do as a result of this passage? All right. Then after that, these are quite specific questions. As a young Christian, I had a book in Quiet Time whereby they put this question that is there a command to obey in that passage? For example, Jesus, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, Paul says, Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? So, what is the teaching there? God wants us to give more than we receive. Does it make sense? So, it's very straightforward if you actually have those questions there for you. Is there a promise to claim, a sin to avoid, or a lesson to learn, and a new truth to carry with me? Okay? So, any questions for this? What we're going to do is we're going to practice this now. Okay? We're going to practice this now. Right? Now what I want you to do is to divide yourself into small groups. Okay? In small groups. Maybe if Uncle Roland, Brother Robert, and then your two. Then after that, Roy, you can join Brother Leong and Elizabeth and Tim, and maybe it's the Gemma. And then probably divide yourselves in groups of five. Okay? Now, this is what you need to do. Group of five, huh? You will do Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn there. Okay, the you have an advantage because they did Matthew 5 yesterday. You will practice the meditation part. Okay, this is the most important. You will practice the meditation part. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Okay, just four verses. This is what you do. Okay, you quickly identify your 5%. Just sit in your groups. No one is supposed to ask anyone any other questions except when you don't understand. Okay? In other words, you are actually practicing, you're doing your quiet time. You're spending time with God. You're learning this passage now. Okay? If you don't understand a word, you can ask, but you're not supposed to talk about what you have for lunch, you're going to have for lunch, what you have for breakfast. Okay? No. Okay? It's your time to just go through that passage. Alright? There's four verses only. Alright, any questions? And what you need to do is to... You actually have, in your... There's this whole place here that's empty. I want you to actually write down your thoughts here. Okay, and behind as well. Okay, so there's a lot of space. Okay? And your job in the empty space is to actually... As you read the Word of God, meditate on this. Ask, who is speaking in the passage? Who is he speaking to? What is he saying? And why? Okay? And what's the outcome of what the person is saying? And then very specifically in application, as the Anna mentioned, what is the Lord trying to teach me in this passage? And then what is one thing I must do as a result of this passage? Okay? Okay? So now it's on that clock, it's 10:07, alright? We come back about 10:20, can? So about 15 minutes for yourself, just gather yourself in groups of five. Any questions?
Okay, I'll walk around. Okay, there may be some people who may be a bit older in the faith there, like maybe in our Brother Long's group is Brother Long. So if you need to ask him, you can ask him, then he will help you understand, all right? Not understand the passage, but the words that... After that, we will share what you've gone, okay? Just kind of, those behind also, try to group yourself and just do that, all right? Okay. It's not to discuss the passage, it's for yourself to do it yourself, all right? Nah, you all have? You all have? You have, Okay, Extras, okay. Hey, ma? Oh, still Gemma, okay. Anyone else need? Okay, you can use Google Webster 1828 if you want to, alright? You have a sword searcher on your iPad, whatever, just go ahead and use it. Alright, the goal is actually for you to understand the passage for yourself. Just do it, you do it in that group, but then if you think you need some help, I don't understand, whatever, you're free to ask. But it must be related to the passage, okay? Not about lunch or breakfast or anything. Alright, so we come back about 10:20, alright? So you have about 11 minutes. What? You have?
No.
Oh, the pen. Okay, we take about one more minute. So the first question I want to ask is, how do you, as you are doing your quiet time, what are your, what's your reflection like? What was it easy? Was it hard? Was it, what thoughts, some thoughts from anyone as you are doing it? Is it easy? Okay, maybe you go in.
Question came to me by doing this in my day.
Okay.
By practicing this.
Okay, so that's the idea. All right, let's go through it. All right, then we can actually think about it. Okay, so you can shout out the answer. Okay, who is speaking in this passage?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ, right? Come have a seat. Come. You just take one. Just have a seat. All right, the next one. To whom is he speaking?
To his followers,
to his disciples. How do you know that?
Verse 1.
What does verse 1 say? Okay, he taught his disciples. Okay, he taught his disciples. And together with the disciples, possibly the multitudes as well. Okay, because the multitudes was there, but his disciples came to him. Okay, good. Now, what is he saying? What is he saying? What does the passage, what is Jesus saying to the disciples? Just shout out. Whatever you have, just shout out.
So one thing is very clear that he's talking to his followers, which means he's talking to a bunch of people who follow him, Christians.
Okay.
You have the light in you.
Okay, the light.
You are the salt. Already.
You are the salt.
You are already there.
Okay.
So what he's saying is, you know, you've got to show the light. You've got to live the light.
Okay. So the goal
don't
is...
hide it.
Okay, don't hide the light.
You are the light, so don't be shy.
Okay, don't be shy. Okay, what else? Anyone? Okay. I'll just use what you said. You said that... you said that Jesus is actually saying that they already have the light in them, right? So they're supposed to share it out.
He says you are the light.
Okay, you are the light. Okay. Yeah. So the question, just to think through that, when you say that it's already in you, the question that we need to ask is, what is Jesus saying there? He's saying, ye are the light and ye are the salt. He's making a declaration. Okay, and this one goes a little bit deeper. He's making a declaration, you are the salt, you are the light. He's not making any other assumptions. Do you know what I'm trying to get at? Okay, Brother Frank was true, yeah, as Christians, we do have the light, we do have the salt, we are the salt. But when Jesus was speaking there, he was making a declaration to the multitudes, you are the light, you are the salt. He's a declaration, he's not assuming anything. Sorry?
It's an affirmative statement.
Again, is that?
Affirmative statement.
Yeah, okay. It's a declaration. So you are the... Now we keep going first, alright? Because this is a little bit... okay, then, what is he saying? What else? What do the other people have? What is he saying? Maybe decide.
He's
What's he saying? Come on, man, just shout. Come on, don't be shy, just shout. Again. All right, to be a good example, can you see there's already going into application already, but which is okay. All right, but what is Jesus saying? He's talking about the two things, right? He's talking about two things. What are the two things? Salt and the light. Okay, so he's talking about the salt and the light. Why is he saying that? Why is Jesus saying that you are the salt, you are the light? Why is he saying that? Okay? Our function, our purpose as Christians is to be the salt and the light. Okay? So, now what was the outcome of what he said based on the passage? Is there an outcome? When I wrote that, I was thinking, okay, in this passage, you need to understand these are guiding questions. Sometimes in the passage, you may not find answers to some of the questions. Alright? But you can still think, what is the outcome? What do you think Jesus wants us to learn at the end? What's the outcome of what he's teaching? What should be the outcome? Sorry? Could it be a blessing to others? What else? To see your good works. What else? To glorify God, to live your life. Okay, see, all these things are coming out, right? Okay, it's important you write it down. Okay, now. I think generally we understand the passage. Now we're going down to the devotional aspect whereby you put yourself there. And the question is, what is the Lord trying to teach me through this passage? Okay, the first thing that maybe... what is the Lord trying to teach me in this passage? Does anyone want to share? Have you reached... What I'll do is I'll share with you what I found, okay? Firstly, okay, the speaker is the Lord Jesus, alright? And the people, the multitudes, the disciples, okay? The next one is, what is he saying? He's talking about salt and light of the world. Why? Because it is God's will for us to influence the culture that we live in. Alright, that's what I wrote down. Then after that, why did Jesus say we are the salt and light of the world? This is something God expects us. You think about this, huh? God expects us to have good works in our lives so that people will glorify God when they see our good works. Okay? And so, then what was the Lord trying to teach me? Okay, this is what I learned. I have a responsibility to influence the places that I live in as salt and light. I'm salt, so I'm to add flavor to every situation. I'm salt, so I have to add I need to have a healing property in my life. Meaning that when people talk to me, they need to be able to find help. Okay. Another thing I've learned is I'm a preserving agent because salt is a preserving agent, right? But it's interesting though. I can also lose my savor, right? That's what the passage said. Okay. So, youth, how do you lose your savor? You just learned it yesterday. So no excuse. How do you lose your savor? How does salt? Question: Do salt? Then you have to think. Jesus says, but if salt has lost its savour, where we shall be salted, right? Then you have to ask a question in your quiet time. Lord, can salt lose its flavour? You have to ask that. Okay? So if can, how?
When you get really diluted.
Okay, we get diluted. Okay, what else? Alright? Yes? By stopping to read the Bible, yeah, okay, because then you don't actually have that.
When you get mixed too much.
Okay, mixed too much, yeah, okay, but that's interesting. So, which means, what is Jesus trying to tell me? That I can actually lose, from what I understand, salt is a very stable compound. It will never change one, you know, unless diluted by water and mixed with impurities. Can you see that? Open your eye. Oh, that means I can actually lose my salt. If I become too diluted, I don't read my Bible, I no longer have the testimony, or I mix around with things of this world too much, I become impure, I actually lose my salt. I lose my influence. Does it make sense? Okay? Last lesson I learned, I cannot be quiet as a Christian. Because the Bible says, no man lighteth a candle and hideth it under a bushel. I cannot be quiet as a Christian. But you need to be wiser, of course, when you speak, when not to speak. But you know, I cannot be quiet as a Christian. Another lesson I learned, I'm a light, so I need to brighten people's life. I need to illuminate. That means I need to show light in people's life. In other words, when there's darkness in people's life, I need to be able to do something. God should use me to help the person see some light. And I'm a light, so I need sometimes to be a guide to someone else. This is what God is teaching me, okay? And so another thing I learned is I must have good works in my life. Because Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. Do you realize there's an assumption? God just says that you need to have good works in your life. Okay? Which means that I need to do something. Okay? Another lesson I learned is my goal is having good works is so that people will glorify God. That's one thing I learned. So what's one thing I do? This is what I put down. I will ensure I do one good work for someone every day. And then what you do is, Lord, thank you for teaching me this. Lord, I know I need to be an influence, so Lord, I'm promising you, the Lord, from today onwards, I will do one good thing to someone. And I will do it with a heart that people will see Jesus. Help me, in Jesus' name. And then when you close your Bible, you just continue your duties, but you carry that thought with you for your decisions in your life. Does that make sense? That means if you do a quiet time like that, you make 365 decisions to change for God every single day. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Any questions? Does it help? Because next week we're going to do it again. Okay? We're going to do it again. Because by God's grace, we want to make this a habit for every Christian. And so, to make it easy, but any questions before we take about 5 more minutes before we close today. But any questions about quiet time?
The other thing from it, the commandment and the sin.
Oh, okay. The other part is there a command to obey? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a lesson to learn? And is there a new truth to carry with me? Now, the interesting thing about some passages are very clear. Thou shalt not. Okay? You look at the Bible, there are stories, there are teachings, there are parables, and sometimes it's just conversation between two people. And what you need to do is use these questions to guide you. Some of the questions may not necessarily, maybe there's no commandment, it's just God is just teaching a person how to do certain things, alright? And so, you just skip that one. Okay? But if you find that it's there, just write it down so that, there's a promise for me. Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to my riches. That's a promise. And then you say, Lord, and in your prayer say, God, I thank you that there's a promise for me. Do you realize every promise in the Bible is for you? Every promise in the Bible is for you. For some of you, Brother Johnny, this one question that we may get. Brother Johnny, very hard to read. I don't like reading. I don't like reading. You ask me to answer questions. Very hard to think. I'm not used to thinking anymore already. That kind of thing. Can I just encourage you? You realize the Word of God is God's love letter to you. What do you do with a love letter? You say, so and so. Yeah, I love him. Forget it. No! We read the letter. Me and my wife, we corresponded before we married. I still keep the letter. I just make sure I hide it so my children don't play postman and go and send it everywhere. But you know what? Occasionally, I still take out and read. And then you feel, she wrote that. Can you see on a daily basis, God speaks to us. Does that make sense? Can you see, if you have this in your life, can you imagine every... You may not make a decision every, but at least I tell you, half the year, you at least make 100 decisions if you do it every day. Small ones that make a difference in your life. I can tell you, as you make a difference in your life, someone else will see, hey, how come this person is doing good deeds now every day? Or maybe for children, maybe one of the children say, dear God, I know I'm being stubborn, but today, from today onwards, Lord, I will sweep the floor without mommy telling me. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you see the children starting to... Then, why? Because... And then you know what? Children, you know when you do that without mommy, you know what mommy and daddy will do? Praise God. My daughter or my son is obeying the Bible. It's simple ways. But that's what it means. Life-changing. Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay, then after record down what God has given to you, and now you're ready to pray, and then after obey God. Whatever you have decided, do it. Okay, just go ahead and do it. Okay, any questions? Any questions? I think it's pretty straightforward, right? What I'd like to do is for you, in order to keep that up, get yourself a notebook. I share with you, I have this kind of notebook for myself. Right? Some of you may want a computer printout, whatever, but if you can just maybe cut this and put it in the front, so it's a guide for you. Does that make sense? You have the questions, you can cut it, and then you put it in the front. That's what I did for my children last time when they started. Everyone then started Bible reading when they, my wife would take them through all the stories of the Bible by the age of 3. Then after that, they do the RPG. Then when they get to a reading age, I'll actually give them simple questions for them to actually ask. So then when they do it, they just answer those questions. Initially, it's just answering questions, but as time goes by, it develops that thirst and the ability to do that. Okay, so you can actually cut it out, all right, the questions, and paste it here. And every day, put it together with your Bible. And every morning, you just answer those questions. And you'll be amazed what God can do for you. All right, so to help you, we're going to have the first 6 passages here. They are already written for you already. If those who are older in the faith, you feel you have your own, that's fine. Alright? But those who maybe just starting, or maybe you want to try, I really put these passages here. It does require some thinking, alright? Okay? It does require some thinking. But you know what? Then next week, we'll come back, I'll give you another passage, we'll practice here again, and then we'll share what God has taught us. Alright? Any questions? By the grace of God, by the end of this month, everyone will have a system that they use to read a Bible. As you grow in your faith, God may teach you other things, or you may cut short certain things, you go straight to the passage. That's up to you. Alright? For me, what I do is I go into the very words. I ask the words, I put the words together, I read the context, I read this, I read that, just to give me a comprehensive idea of that passage before I make my application. Okay? So any questions? Okay, let me know if it's helpful, and other things that you may want to add, just let me know, alright? I'm sure other people also have things they're going to learn. Alright, okay, let's have a word of prayer, alright? As we prepare for service afterwards, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, and God, truly I'm asking you, Lord, to burn this desire for a love for your word. Oh God, may thy Holy Spirit be the teacher of every Christian. And that God, when they begin to dig into the word, and I pray that especially the teens, as they grow up, Lord, with a love and genuine hunger for your word, as they find that, yeah, I can do this, I pray, God, they will grow up with a love for your word, and God, every day will be a change in their lives. Lord, I pray, thy word is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. Father, make it real that every decision we make, every life path we take, every problem we face, every conflict we are in, God, we can go to your word as we study it. And every lesson that we've made or learned, God, that you would help us to apply it specifically, Lord. Forcing ourselves to say, I will do this because Jesus taught me this. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. We pray for the visitors that will come. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take charge of their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.